Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 31, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started this evening, there's a couple of things I'd like to bring to your attention. First of all, I would encourage all of you to pray for Ralph LaRosa, missionary in the Philippines. Ralph is the best of the best of the best when it, as far as being a missionary, as God designed a missionary to be. He has been in the Philippines most of his life, establishing churches, training pastors, he has given out the Grace Gospel booklet from here, thousands and thousands and thousands of them all over the Philippines. We have had many, many, when they were home and came home, they would come here. And we had I can't tell you how many fragrant memories we have of Ralph and Cindy LaRosa, their daughter Natalie, their son Brian. Ralph is in very, very serious condition in a hospital in the Philippines right now. And like you all to remember him in prayer. Pray for the doctors. They were going to go back in and he had surgery. And then complications. And they were going to go back in and do more surgery. And Ralph said, no. Surgeries are over. If God wants to call me home, he can call me home. The surgeries are over. And they told Cindy he's not going to survive. Well, we got that when I got here, and Deb told me. I can't tell you how much I love Ralph LaRosa. He is absolutely the best. And they had a... He was on respirator. All of his vital signs were going south. And then right just a few minutes ago, we got another text from Cindy. Said, well, now his vital signs are coming back. He's off the respirator and breathing. Cindy said, it's 5 minutes, it's like a miracle that's taking place here. The doctor said he's still in very, very serious condition. They don't know what the problem is. So pray for the doctors that they run the right tests, make the proper diagnosis and treatment. But Ralph is still in very, very serious condition. So... please remember this, again, he is, of all the missionaries that I have ever been associated with and ever known, none are any better than Ralph and Cindy LaRosa. They are the absolute best. Now there's another announcement. Mark this on your calendar, Saturday, June 10th. Saturday, June 10th, 2 p.m. I haven't had a memorial service since COVID came on. Now that we're going to have a double. So there will be on June 10th, Saturday, June 10th at 2 p.m., a memorial service for Paula Roseberry and for Don Lewis. Paula Roseberry and Don Lewis, And all of you are welcome and invited to be there. And after the memorial service is all over, there'll be food and drinks. No booze, but food and drinks. So you're all invited to come to that memorial. And that I am looking forward to conducting that memorial service, because it's for two winner believers who were the best of the best. And so I am really looking forward to doing this memorial service. Again, Saturday, June 10th, 2 p.m. And forget about the damn Golden Knights playing for the Stanley Cup. They might have already won it by then, and of course then the rapture will take place after that. So. Just waiting for them to... God says, I'm going to wait till they win the Stanley Cup. You see, I get special messages from the Lord. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I also got an update on the Ukraine. Ukraine and... interestingly enough, Belarus. Now, after this war had been going on for a while, why the politicians in Belarus sided with Russia. And now Russia is building all kinds of mining and putting their military equipment in Belarus because it's right next to the Ukraine. Well, this is an update on both... by the way, there were a lot of sound doctrinal churches in Belarus as well as in the Ukraine. And this update is from Mark Musser. Mark Musser has worked along with Jim Myers, who has been working in the Ukraine and Belarus for most of his life. And they were both involved in teaching and training pastors in the Ukraine and in Belarus. So this is bring you up to date spiritually forget about what you read on the in the papers and all of that, what the politicians are saying. We never imagined ministering on both sides of any war front. But amazingly, this is precisely what happened this past school year of 2022 and 23. Neither was it planned, but it came about through a strange set of circumstances, which was also an answer to prayer. We have prayed for some years to be able to somehow return to Belarus, as we wanted to live and serve regularly at a church in Mogilev that we helped to establish working with Village Ministries International, VMI, going all the way back to 1995 and 1996. Because of difficult political realities on the ground, we had to settle for short-term mission trips to Mogilev instead, which we still did as much as we could for 25 years. However, now, strangely enough, thanks to the war, we return to Belarus. Now, few people wanted to go to Belarus to take new job openings at Minsk International School, but we decided to go for it, with some trepidation, of course. Yet so far, it has been a very good year for us. We have been granted some good opportunities to share clear, strong, grace Bible teaching in these parts, something relatively rare. What Pastor Ron Breckel, he mentions Pastor you, I've heard me talk about Pastor Breckel over and again, Bethany Bible Church in Pullman. What Pastor Ron Breckel used to call Galatianism, or what is more popularly known as legalism. It's very widespread, if not the default position here. The farther east one goes, the worse it seemingly gets. It is not easy to break through such barriers, many of which are not only religious, but also cultural and political as well. Yet the Apostle Paul set the standard. He routinely faced much opposition on the mission field precisely because of his strong stance on the grace gospel. It is not easy, but necessary to teach and live grace. While Ukraine has since mined their side of the border across from Belarus, Russia is now also building defenses on the Belarus side as well. We thus need greater grace, working together with your prayers for us. I then traveled to the opposite side of the front into Ukraine via Warsaw. Pastor Vasya Munko of Lviv Bible Church picked me up at the airport and drove me first to Lviv and then to Irpin near Kiev. On tap was revisiting the people that we have known, ministered to, served with, and loved for so many years, along with a number of teaching opportunities as well. In Irpin, I stayed with Vasya's uncle, Pastor Victor Munko. Both Vasya and Victor were some of our first graduates from the Bible College in Kiev. While in Irpin, I worked more on our townhouse and taught at the church where Victor has been pastoring for several years now. The church was hit by a missile just as the Russian soldiers were leaving in March 2022 following the very difficult battles of Bucha, Irpin, and Gostomel. The church, which they had recently moved into, lost its entire second floor during the last stages of the battle. Victor's own apartment was occupied by Russian soldiers for 3 weeks. The very building we used to teach Christ Our Substitute back in 2019 and 2020 was destroyed, except for the basement. Of all the churches I visited this time around, only the Regeneration Church in Kiev was essentially the same as before. A credit to this faithful group of believers and its pastor, Roman Ovcharenko. Roman was one of my former students, going all the way back to my teaching days at Kiev Theological Seminary from 1998 to 2001, before we helped Jim Myers establish the Word of God Bible College. This is all in Ukraine. Keep telling you, there's a huge pivot of mature believers in Ukraine, and there are a lot of mature believers in Belarus as well. Forget the damn politicians about this thing. We helped Jim Myers establish the Word of God Bible College. At Romans Church, I taught on Psalm 119. Well, that's the longest psalm in the Bible. He could have been there. I'd have been there 5 years. There are now also many churches in Ukraine without pastors. That is another crisis, and a deeply spiritual one at that. In Irpin, the lead pastor left and is still outside the country. And most of the entire church also left. But Victor stayed behind and still does much pastoring there now. And surprisingly, the church is now bigger than it was before, as Victor and others were so faithful to minister in Irpin, even while battles were raging nearby. Victor left Irpin for only 3 weeks in March 2022. He stayed with his nephew Vasha in Lviv while Russian soldiers occupied his apartment. Victor barely got out. Russian tanks were driving down the streets of Irpin while they were on their way out of Lviv. Please pray for Pastor Victor. The folks ministering with him sometimes argue with him relative to his strong stance on grace and dispensations. Anybody want to argue with me on my stand on grace and dispensations? I don't argue, I just punch. No, I've been read in the Bible, I'm not supposed to be a pugilist. So. His strong stance on grace and dispensations, which sadly is often the case in so many Protestant circles today in America. Yet Victor has been granted a great opportunity to pastor struggling folks in Irpin in such a great crisis. I would strongly argue they have been blessed by God to have him there. When we first drove to leave, the very next day we discovered that Dr. Robbie Dean's Gospel Spiritual Life booklets entitled God's Powerful Promises, had finally been printed and delivered. We thus had thousands of gospel booklets in both Ukrainian and in Russian at our disposal, which we then dispatched to a number of places across the country to folks we have partnered with in the past. A few thousand booklets were even sent to near the front lines in places like Kramatorsk and Dnipro, not far from the Donbass battle areas. Please pray that these gospel booklets will find their way into the hands of soldiers and others with listening ears. One box has been sent to Pastor Zenya Minin in Mykolaiv in southern Ukraine near Kherson, who has been a chaplain to soldiers fighting in the war since 2014. Pray that Pastor Minin will take a special interest in these booklets so that a ministry can be developed using them to evangelize and encourage the soldiers on the front. He was recently offered to be one of the chief chaplains in the Ukrainian army, but he does not know if he should take the opportunity, because if he does, he's afraid he'll be put in an administration position rather than personally working with the soldiers, which is what he wants. So he specifically asked for prayers in this regard as to whether he should take that or not. Well, there, and that's only half. I thought I'd save half for another day. But I've tried to tell you there are Grace Bible colleges there, Grace seminaries there. There's a large pivot of mature believers there. And with all of this in the middle of this war going on, they are still standing fast. So I hope every single day that in your prayer life that you take the time to remember the Christians in Ukraine and in Belarus. Both sides of the war. Pray for them that God puts a wall of fire around them, protects them, and pray that they'll be channels of God's grace to be used by Him to communicate establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth, that many will come to know Christ as their Savior and advance to spiritual maturity. Well, it's great to get the word from the pivot in these areas. You see, you're living, you don't have to worry about Russian tanks coming down your street. You don't have to worry about the church being bombed out with missiles. You don't have Russians occupying your house. And these believers face this day after day after day. And these are grace believers, grace believers. They understand grace and they understand dispensations. And at one class I taught here a while back, some guy walked in, sat in the back, and then we were on Joel. I get a phone call. He talked on that message until it shut off. I wish the damn thing had shut off 2 seconds in. But Oh, well, it sounds like you are falling for that old stupid dispensational stuff, and went on and on and on. I keep waiting for him to come back. I got a special message if he just would come back. Yeah, I hold that stupid dispensational truth because that's the divine interpretation of history. That's what the Bible teaches. Where does dispensational truth come from? Just from studying the Bible. Not reading books that liberals have written, but studying the God-breathed scriptures. You do that, you wind up with dispensational truth. If you just read liberal claptrap books, why... Yeah, you're so far out in left field, it's unbelievable. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 9. 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We are afflicted, phlebo, in every way, but we absolutely are not stenokoreo, crushed. We have great apareo, great inner pressures in our soul, but we are not totally ex apareo, despairing. We are diokod, we're persecuted, but we absolutely are not enkatalepo, abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are kataballo, struck down, but we're not apolumid. We're not destroyed. The winner believer who makes those good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, will receive persecution and suffering for blessing. Some will come from demons. Some will come from unbelievers in the cosmic system. Some will come from believers in the cosmic system. When you are living the spiritual life, that is, living your life by the grace and power of God, then any suffering that comes to you is designed for your blessing. All suffering for blessing is designed by God for the believer's advance to spiritual maturity and the glorification of God. Suffering for blessing is also always designed to advance you spiritually by putting muscle on your faith, a maximum faith rest life. When your suffering, however, is more than you can bear, then this is punitive suffering. Punitive suffering brought on by your own bad decisions. Punitive suffering, suffering you cannot bear, is God's wake-up call for you. Divine discipline is unbearable suffering. God is getting your attention. He's saying, wake up! You're not living the spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. However, God never gives winner believers living the spiritual life more suffering than they can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. So what God does not remove from the winner believer, he intends for him to bear, to endure, to handle by the grace and power of God, 2 Corinthians 12:7 to 10. And since there is no suffering in the eternal state, Revelation 21:4, God can only bless the believer through suffering right now, right here in time. There is no suffering too great for the grace and power of God to resolve. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart, the lifestyle of wisdom, is far greater than any suffering, pressure, or disaster in life. So, we know from the Word of God there are two basic categories of suffering. Suffering for blessing as a result of living the spiritual life and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, advancing to spiritual adulthood, and suffering for discipline. Which category of suffering we receive is based on the free will decisions that we make from our own volition. Good decision from a position of strength to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills results in suffering for blessing. Bad decision from a position of weakness to live in Satan's cosmic system and by the old sin nature with its lust patterns results in punitive suffering. Now this brought us to the principle of the law of volitional responsibility. And we have studied the first four points on this principle, the law of volitional responsibility. This comes from Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7 says, "Stop being deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." And we've studied the first four points. Point one, every human being must take the responsibility for his own decisions and his own actions in life. You must take full responsibility for your own wrong decisions related to your associations, your activities, your motives, and your functions in life. Point two, in God's plan for your life, sin, human good, and evil are all absolutely forbidden. Now, it is inevitable that throughout our life as a Christian, that we will all sin, perform some human good, and be influenced by evil from time to time. This demands the use of the problem-solving device of rebound, which solves the problem of sin, and it demands that you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, which solves the problem, the problems of human good and evil. Point three, the law of volitional responsibility is punitive suffering that deals with the consequences of sin, human good, evil, and bad decisions in our lives. Point four, all of our sins were paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Yet, all of our sins have consequences for which the individual who commits them must take full responsibility. And that is found in Colossians 3, verse 25. Colossians 3:25 says, "For the one who does wrong will receive the consequences of that wrong which he has done. And there is no partiality with God." The solution to sin is the problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. That gets you back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and back in your spiritual life. The solution to human good and evil is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. So, get up and get cracking on living the spiritual life. Now that brings us to point five. Point five in the law of volitional responsibility. Many wrong decisions come from arrogance, the mental attitude sin of arrogance. And this demands the development of the basic virtue of the spiritual life, the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. The foundational virtue, this has to be there first. You have to have this foundational virtue before you ever develop the rest of the virtues of the spiritual life. That foundational virtue or basic virtue is humility. Now, many wrong decisions come from the mental attitude sin of arrogance, and this demands the development of the foundational virtue of the spiritual life, humility. And what is humility? Respect for authority. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And without that, you will never have any virtues of the spiritual life developed because you don't even have the basic virtue, humility. 6. Man manufactures his own problems and resultant consequences from his own bad decisions. Man manufactures his own problems and resultant consequences from his own bad decisions. Seven. God manufactures solutions and blessings in the midst of suffering. So God, a man manufactures his own problems and resultant consequences from his own bad decisions. On the other hand, God manufactures solutions and blessings in the midst of suffering. 8. God has graciously provided the way to turn cursing into blessing. God has graciously provided the way to turn cursing into blessing. Nine, if the believer, through the function of his own arrogance and negative volition, continues to make bad decisions, then God will have to step in. Divine discipline. Well, it usually starts out with you creating your own discipline, self-induced misery. And if you continue, then God steps in with warning discipline. And if you don't learn from that, then God steps in with intensive discipline. And if you don't learn from that, well, then it's time you get to go home early. Sin unto death. 10. God in His grace and virtue love disciplines His people, His royal family. God in His grace and virtue love disciplines His royal family. When you are heading over the cliff, well, He's the one who provides discipline. Why? Because He loves you, that's why. He doesn't want to see you go over the cliff. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. Turn over to Revelation 3. This is a great passage. Unfortunately, you got the stupid fundies who take this and call it a salvation passage. And there's no salvation in Revelation 3, 19 and 20. I hope none of you ever, ever, ever use this as a gospel passage. That the Lord's knocking on the door and open it up and let Him come in. Salvation! Yay! No, that's not what's going on here. If the Lord is knocking on your heart, you're in trouble. He's supposed to be inside making Himself at home in your heart. But instead He's outside knocking because you've made a real mess of your life. Revelation 3, verse 19. those whom I love, believers, royal family, those whom I love, I rebuke. Now, he doesn't rebuke unbelievers. These are believers. These are those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. This is royal family of God. Those whom I love, I rebuke. That's warning discipline. And punish. That's intensive discipline. So be earnest and repent. And that involves, first of all, rebound, and then a change in your mental attitude, your thinking. Change in mental attitude back to the Word of God. Here I am, Lord Jesus Christ. I stand at the door and knock. When Jesus Christ is knocking on your heart, that is divine discipline. When you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, He's made Himself at home in your heart. He's not knocking, He's already at home there. You have reached occupation with Jesus Christ, but if He's outside knocking, that's divine discipline. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, rebound. That's not salvation, that's rebound. I will come in and eat with him and he with me. In other words, now we're back in fellowship. You rebounded, now you're back in fellowship with God. So that is a great passage that teaches divine discipline is a part of God's grace and virtue love. And you know, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you realize that. You realize that even when you were a child growing up and your parents disciplined you, your father, maybe when you first you didn't realize how great that was. I didn't. I didn't realize my father was, by the way, I love my father very, very much. I loved my father so much that if he ever had to spank me, I would cry. I would cry not because the spanking hurt. I cried because I did something that he was very displeased with me. And I did not want to displease my father. I loved my father very, very much. And my father was an unbeliever. And then after I believed in Christ, and then when God guided me down to Washington State University and to Bethany Bible Church and Pastor Breckel, and I grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, I studied these passages. And as I studied it, the Holy Spirit really worked on my heart, and I realized, you know, now I see how much my father loved me. Not just loved me, loved my brother Don, my brother Mike, my sister Judy, my brother Dave. He loved us so much that he disciplined us when we were out of line. Actually, he could have disciplined us way, way more. And it would have been totally right, fair. But I thought about that, and I wrote a letter to my dad and sent it up to him. And I said, Dad, I want to thank you for all of the time as we were growing up and you training me and disciplining me when I was out of line. I know now that was because you love me very, very much. And I can't thank you enough for all of that time you took to discipline me and the rest of the kids as we were growing up. Well, that's what we have here. Divine discipline is because God loves you. If he didn't love you, he'd just let you fall off the cliff and crash and burn. But he does love you. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. And do not lose heart when he, the Lord, rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. It's a demonstration of God's grace and love to you. And he punishes every one he accepts as a son. Endure deserved suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? And if you're not disciplined, and every believer undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our human fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his blessings. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces the prosperous fruit of grace righteousness. Grace righteousness, spiritual maturity for those who have been trained by it. So God in his grace and in his virtue love takes the time to discipline us, spank us. When we start making bad decisions living in the cosmic system, he spanks us. He doesn't want us to fall off the cliff. He wants you all to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and glorify him. All right. Now another principle. Every winner believer living the spiritual life will be persecuted. Every winner believer living the spiritual life will be persecuted. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who desires, who wants to live the spiritual life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Everyone who desires, who wants to live the spiritual life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. So, one, the winner believer is qualified to receive the mantle of suffering for blessing. That's the best. The winner believer is qualified to receive the mantle of suffering for blessing. Two, nothing is greater than suffering for blessing because it determines your greatness in life. Nothing is greater than suffering for blessing because it determines your greatness in life. Three, God's plan for you is to use His grace and His power and have blessing and inner peace in the greatest problems and difficulties of life. God's plan for you is to use His grace and His power and have blessing and inner peace in the greatest problems and difficulties of life. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, the Lord says to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults." That's people testing. That's slandering, maligning, judging. And you'll have a lot of people malign you, slander, and judge you. That's people testing. In hardships, that's pressures, that's thought testing. In persecutions, that's disaster testing. In difficulties, that's system testing. 4, dying is considered to be the ultimate in suffering. Dying is considered to be the ultimate in suffering. 5, the winner believer knows how to die, and he glorifies God to the maximum in his dying. The winner believer knows how to die, and he glorifies God to the maximum in his dying. Psalm 23:4, winner believer David, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Jesus Christ is at home in your heart. Occupation with Jesus Christ, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So let's amplify point 5 again. The winner believer knows how to die and glorifies God to the maximum in his dying. Let's amplify that. 1, occupation with Christ is the problem-solving device for glorifying God in your dying. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." You've made yourself at home in my heart. Occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have occupation with Jesus Christ, that's the problem-solving device for glorifying God while you're dying. Subpoint 2, the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. Sharing the happiness of God. Tranquility in your soul. Inner peace in your soul. The believer who is occupied with Christ knows how to die. The believer who is occupied with Christ knows how to die. For the winner believer who is occupied with Christ, Philippians 1:21 is reality. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me, living is Christ, dying is profit." So for the winner believer who is occupied with Christ, Philippians 1:21 is reality. Subpoint 5. If you know how to die, then you know how to live. If you know how to die, then you know how to live. So you might ask yourself a question. Do you have the ability to know how to die well? Because dying is an index of how well you lived. Subpoint six. The winner believer who is occupied with Christ has no fear of death. The winner believer who is occupied with Christ has no fear of death. The winner believer who is occupied with Christ knows God. He not only knows God, but he loves God. He knows that God will choose the exact right way and the exact right time for him to die. So he relaxes and totally depends on the Lord. Subpoint seven. Just as your life can be full of inner peace and happiness, so can your death be full of inner peace and happiness. Just as your life can be full of inner peace and happiness, so can your death be full of inner peace and happiness. For the winner believer, there is just as much happiness in dying as in living. There is pain in both. So the issue is not whether you have pain or not. The issue is virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. The issue is not pain. You can have pain in living. You can have pain in dying. The issue is not pain. I mean, look at the Apostle Peter. He was crucified upside down. You think there was any pain in that? Lots and lots and lots of pain. And he had a soul of tranquility, inner happiness, because he was occupied with Jesus Christ. Subpoint eight. The believer who doesn't know how to die doesn't know how to live. The believer who doesn't know how to die doesn't know how to live. He has no virtue love. He has no occupation with Jesus Christ. He has no sharing the happiness of God. He has no faith rest life. So again, point five, the winner believer knows how to die and glorifies God to the maximum in his dying. That brings us to point six. Point six, since dying is the ultimate in suffering, if you have inner peace and happiness at the thought of dying, then you will have inner peace and happiness in living. Since dying is the ultimate in suffering, if you have inner peace and happiness at the thought of dying, then you will have inner peace and happiness in living. Seven. Suffering for blessing is designed to teach you how to live and how to die. Suffering for blessing is designed to teach you how to live and how to die. And when you put the two together, it's an unbeatable combination. Philippians 1:20, the Apostle Paul wrote, according to my intense concentration and resultant confidence that in nothing will I be disgraced, but I will have courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And I hope that is reality for each one of you. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.